Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green, and I'd like to ask you a question and want you to really consider what I'm going to ask you very carefully. How badly do you want to stop abortion? How do you feel about it in your heart? Would you carry a sign in front of a clinic? Would you try to entice your senator to vote in a particular way if we could? What would you do if you could end abortion? How would you step up? I'm speaking with you today to ask you to consider a ministry called Preborn Clinics. They've got a very unique approach that's been proven extremely effective for dealing with young women in crisis. And what they do is pretty simple. They bring them into a clinic and they do an ultrasound and they introduce the new mom to be to her baby. She gets to see the life that she's carrying with her, and they provide hope, love, and even the gospel in action. So I'm asking you to join Preborn in helping more moms choose life. So here's the deal. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. So in other words, 5 babies live. The deal right now that's working is they're going to double your gift. So in other words, 10 babies. I think that's a pretty good deal. You can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Would you think about that abortion? Would you do something about it? I sure appreciate you even praying about it and thinking about it. Preborn.com. God bless you all. Well, hello again, everyone. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I have a good friend with me on the podcast today. It's been a long time since I've seen him. We both labored together at Oral Roberts University. Paul's a very distinguished professor, as well as a writer, a minister, pastor. He's done a lot, and he's used his gifts mightily. And you're going to hear that today. Dr. Paul King has been a seasoned pastor and professor with 50 years of ministry experience. He has an earned Doctor of Ministry from Oral Roberts University, Doctor of Theology from the University of South Africa. He's author of 14 books. He was a 2005 Scholar of the Year at ORU, Scholar at Large for United Theological Seminary. That's not an easy get. He's also a cancer overcomer, something I didn't know about him, that just pleased to know the part about overcoming. He's written 2 books on healing and has spoken and ministered at healing conferences worldwide, as well as teaching on the Holy Spirit and revival, spiritual welfare and discernment, ministry and leadership development, elder deacon training, as well as being a ministry and church health consultant. He and his wife, Kathy, have been married for 45 years, have 2 children and 5 grandchildren. So without delaying any further, I just want to welcome back Professor Dr. Paul King. Brother, welcome back to Green Lines.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on with you today. And I just love to share the Word of God. And thank you for your graciousness in having me on the show today.
Well, we love to have you because you're going to talk about a topic that I don't know how to say it any other way. We just need more of it. You know, I'll take a bowl full of it, and then I want another bowl of it. We all need to learn discernment. And you've got a really nice book here called Is It of God? Biblical Guidebook for Spiritual Discernment. We need more of it. We need more books like this. In fact, I believe you're about to release your 2nd volume. This is a 1-volume book. It's pretty thick. It's heavy. I was practicing curls before I got you on. The title of the book is It of God? And how many times throughout the day do we ask that question? In fact, how many more times of the day should we be asking it? So let's start there. Why should we seek discernment?
Well, first of all, because we need discernment for ourselves. Jesus said that we need to take the log out of our own eye before we try to go and judge someone else.
Right.
And so that's where discernment starts, is with ourselves. In fact, one of the early church fathers says that the key to discernment is humility.
Yes.
So, you know, if we think we've got it all figured out and we think we're so discerning, then we probably are not so discerning, because that's where it starts is understanding that we don't have all the answers. We've got to seek Him for all of the answers. And it's easy for us to be deceived or to go one way or the other rather than down the middle way.
Man, it's strong. So if you go further into understanding it, there's some basic principles that you've identified and you've written about that you just simply call 8 biblical principles for discernment. And we don't have time to hit them all. But if you could break it down to maybe the top 2 or just a couple that you want to share about, what are 2 good biblical principles for discernment?
Sure. Of course, the most important one of all to begin with is to discover biblical precedent. Is this teaching or practice or manifestation clearly found in Scripture? And so if we cannot find biblical precedent, if we don't find it in Scripture, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily not of God. But then we need to, principle 2 is to investigate for scriptural harmony, and that is to see if there are other ways that we see that it is in harmony with Scripture. Not everything is in Scripture. The Trinity, the term Trinity is not found in Scripture, but it's a very scriptural concept. So it's a matter of, is there harmony? So not everything that is not biblical, that is not found in Scripture, is not necessarily unbiblical, but we need to have discernment to know which is which. And that I liken to the principle of red light, yellow light, green light.
If something is
contrary to Scripture, that's an automatically red light. Stop right there.
Right.
If you're not sure about it, then that's a yellow light, or at least a blinking yellow light. Mm-hmm. But if it is in harmony with Scripture, then you have a green light. But you have to be very careful that you're following biblical precedent or something that is in harmony with Scripture, something that is sound doctrine, sound biblical interpretation.
Well, let me switch this around a little bit, this saying, and say, you know, we've got this place where I've got self-fulfilled discernment. I discern what I wanted to discern. And so I turned a yellow light. I've whooshed through a couple of yellow lights in my day. I know, late for class or something like that. So I see a lot of folks that probably saw a little red, but their self pushed them through that yellow light. Do you see that, Pastor?
Yes, that so often comes up that we want to see things the way that we see them, through our frame of reference or through our motives, through what is in our heart. And of course, we cannot judge another person's heart. Only God can judge righteously. Only He knows the heart. But we need to be seeking our own heart. And that's what Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God,
yes,
and know my heart,
and
see if there be any wicked way within me, and lead me in the everlasting way." And so that is key to discernment, is first looking at our own heart, and is this something that's coming from ourself, or is it really coming from God? And along with that, it's important that we not make this, you know, like we have a hotline to heaven. It's just me and God. I got this from God. Because none of us have a hotline to heaven. And it's only in the community, as we also receive discernment from one another, and we check it out with someone else. I got this revelation. I got this insight. Does this sound like the Word of God? Going to other mature people,
yes,
and asking them. So that's very important as well.
Yes, sir, it is. You even make a point in your book of counseling discernment. You're a good counselor. You're a wise man. I know you. And I think you counsel charismatics maybe a little different than those who haven't had that full experience. So how do you teach discernment to one who's not filled with the Holy Spirit? Just put it that simple.
Yes, I like to say that there is more that is genuinely of God than most non-charismatics are willing to acknowledge.
That's cool.
And there is more that is not genuinely of God than most charismatics are willing to acknowledge. So it's finding the balance in between. And it's having an open mind toward the Spirit. Scripture tells us to be a Berean, to examine the Scriptures closely. And that doesn't mean to have a closed mind, but it means to be examining closely with an open mind, letting the Holy Spirit guide us. And so there's two ditches that we can go off into, and one is to be charismaniacs and
yes.
and going too crazy with charismatic things. And the other ditch is to be charismophobics, and to be afraid. And if we are afraid of the charismatic, then that fear comes from the devil himself. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
So what is too charismatic, Dr. King? Come on. Is there such a thing as too charismatic?
Too charismatic? Well, I've been involved in the charismatic movement one way or another for 50 years.
Yes.
And I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I've done the good,
the bad, and the ugly.
In fact, I never thought about it like 50 years, but thank you very much for that time date. I was thinking it was in the 70s when I first had the experience. So, yes, there have been some things.
Yeah.
But, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And,
we want
people to enjoy the freedom without affectations, right?
That's right. Yes, there certainly is freedom in the Spirit. And I was freed up in the Spirit when I was filled with the Spirit in the early 1970s. And at the same time, Romans 14 tells us, and also Galatians 5, tell us to not let our freedoms go to the extreme or let it become a stumbling block for others.
That's good.
And there's there is a balance between excessive and allowing too much wildness that it becomes the flesh. And then on the other side, too much limitation. And, I've seen people that are supposedly engaging in holy laughter, and it's maybe not so holy.
Yeah.
And
there
there is the need for that balance. I've experienced holy laughter myself, but at the same time, the excesses really turn people off, and the excesses quench the spirit, as the putting the limitations quench the spirit.
So tell me some of the things that you would advise your friends and family to look out for. How do we use discernment in our normal day, going through life, not discerning the spirits to see if these things be true, not discerning prophetic, but discerning life, turning left or turning right, making the decision, is this from God or was it from that cucumber I ate last night? You know, what is it that's moving me? Is it God? How do you get to that? It's your book. That's the title of your book. Is it of God?
Yeah.
How do you get there, Dr. King?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lifelong process. The discernment is growth and maturity. And that's what, Hebrews 5:14 tells us that it's through practice that the word there is used of gymnastics, taking practice, that we learn to discern good and evil. And it's really a matter of improving our eyesight, of nuancing the little differences. Since I've retired, I'm living on a pond and now becoming a bird watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning the nuances of the colors, the sounds, the looks of birds. The same thing is true in discernment. It's learning the nuances, and that's really what discernment is what is the degree of purity.
Yeah.
You're weighing the pros and the cons, and one of the words for discernment really means to weigh. And so we're weighing, is this more of God? So a lot of things are a mixture. We have our own mind mixed in with God, or the devil places a thought there in our mind, and we have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes, sir.
There is a need for us day by day to be praying, seeking God, of course, starting our day, just seeking his presence and his wisdom throughout the day. And yes, we blow it sometimes. We make that wrong left turn when we should have turned right, and so on. But it's learning to listen to the Spirit and to gain an understanding through those little nuances. We don't listen so clearly. It means that we have to be still before God. We can't hear if we have a lot of noise around us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have our lives so cluttered that we can't discern the voice of God because we've got all this clutter around us. So there's many, many more things, but those are just a few things that I would say for my own life
and
the lives of others.
It's really good.
On an everyday basis. Yes.
So here's an important question. There's roughly 360 pages in this book. Is there that much to learn about discernment? Why such a big book for something that you could pretty well teach me in one lecture?
Well, I couldn't really teach you that in one lecture.
Well, I'm a fast trainer.
There is so much.
I'm a fast learner. Come on.
There is. It's a lifelong process. It took me really 20 years to write this book.
Wow.
I started teaching these principles in the late 90s. I was teaching seminars on ministry and leadership development and had like a 2-hour seminar on this. Then people were saying, well, you need to write this. You need to write this. And I said, I don't have enough discernment to write this. Then as I started to write it, I even more said, I don't have enough discernment to write this. And God said, write it. So I've been spending another 10 years in writing it. And that's why there's a second volume, because
wait a minute. I want to slow down here.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dr. King.
Application.
Hold on a second. You got a volume 2 coming out? You got a 360-page book on discernment with a volume 2 coming?
I could have a volume 3, but I think I'll stop with 2.
Well, there's no reason to stop your fingers from typing now. But I want to know, like, what to expect in volume 2. What haven't you covered?
Well, there's all kinds of application of the principles in volume 1. And just some of the things that will be covered. Can a Christian have a demon? The true and false tongues, true and false prophecy, Christian psychics, mysticism, abuse of imagination, visualization, sources of dreams and visions and voices, Jezebel's spirit, gemstones and gold dust, fillings and feathers, true and false angels. I can just go on and on.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. So we're going to have to do this again when you publish volume 2. But take us away with this. What's just something you hope someone takes away from reading volume 1? Is it of God? How do you think it's going to impact the lives of your readers?
Yes, I think one of the most important things is, along with humility, is using discernment, not judgment, to discern and not judge. There's a difference, and also that quote from Tozer, truth has two wings. That we see one wing, but truth has two wings, so we need both wings to make them fly.
That's strong.
So maintaining balance in all that we do.
Really strong. Well, brother, I'd like you to share a life verse with us as we wrap this up. I want to invite you back. Before we do that, I want to know where we can find Is It of God, this great book on discernment. Where can we get it?
Yes, it's available at my website, paulkingministries.com.
Okay.
And you can also get it at my site on Amazon as well. But it's available those locations. I've got a. Also, you can actually get a free excerpt from my book at my website.
Okay.
So if you want to check it out for free and see a couple chapters, you can go to my website, paulkingministries.com.
All right, we're going to do that. So before we call it a show, why don't you give us a verse to go away with, either your life verse, something that means a lot to you, or whatever the Lord puts on your heart now for our audience. Share a verse with us, brother.
Yeah, my life verse is Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And it goes on to say, putting those things behind, reaching forward, pressing on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's always something more, Jesus. Always something more.
Well, I knew your life verse would be a sermon. I wasn't surprised. Well, I ask you for a verse, you preach a sermon, brother. What am I going to do with you?
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to you again. I want to go get this book in the hands of as many people as I can. We need more discernment. I need a wheelbarrow full every day just to hear God and discern his voice and to know his perfect will. Dr. King, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for making time for us. I know you're with your grandchildren, and I hate to take you away from them. So go hug some necks and give some love and keep writing, will you, Dr. King?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, she needs a wheelbarrow full of discernment, too. We all need a wheelbarrow full of it. I haven't met anyone who doesn't need more discernment. God bless you all, and thanks for listening.